Listen and love. How do we go about establishing our priorities as Christians in our relationship with God, our church, and community? The Ten Commandments have been passed on from generation to generation. People have been guided how to live with God, and by doing so, how to know God more. However, throughout history, the commandments have been manipulated to fulfill political power, position of authority of all leaders, including those in the church. The Pharisees loved rules and regulations. Hundreds of them were added to the ten so that people could earn their way, their place, nearer to God. Jesus, in response to the teacher's question, which is the greatest commandment, is, listen and love. Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The teacher of the law replies, oh, then all this, to love my neighbour as myself, is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. I read a book, Generous Orthodoxy, by Brian McLaren. He says, one doesn't learn what God is like in a library or pew and then begins to love God in real life. He turns it round. One begins to love God and others in real life, and from then on may be driven to the library and pew to learn more. So what exactly do we mean by this love? Who is our neighbour? How can we know God better and build a relationship with him? Jesus taught us that the way to know what God is like is by embarking on an adventure of faith, hope, and love. And even when we don't know where our path will lead, we can still have this faith. The way to know God is by following Jesus on that adventure. As some of you know, I've just had a granddaughter, and we've just welcomed Karen with their new baby. And the fascination of being a grandmother for the first time, some of you may have experienced it, but is watching a young child's development again. And you see how it's different. And I find that watching a young child's development mirrors the way we can develop a relationship with God in our everyday living. Yes, there is a priorities. So first, there is a fundamental relationship. I want my nappy change. I want to be fed. I want to go to bed now. I want to cuddle. I want to, and all this. So your priorities are out of the window. Andy and I had quite a shock recovering from having our granddaughter for several days or months, whatever. So later, a child grows up, sees the world from a new perspective. The relationship of other rather than of self-need is beginning to be formed as muscles develop. When feet stagger and slide and arms become outstretched to grab and take hold of the next firm object to support the body from falling. Interest upon people not related, objects and shapes, toys and other living creatures, is further explored by copying what they do, making noises, mimicking facial expressions, given the encouragement needed for walking. Ooh. After a time of being parted, they go away, go home, go abroad, whatever. What joy transpires on FaceTime when we meet our granddaughter, in this case, face to face again via a screen. These early experiences bubble up to the surface. Ways of communication by sound and facial expression are at once recognised. Our newly formed relationship is bonded, maintained, and kept alive. A similar thing with relationships with relatives. My relatives are all over the place, and we tend to have little contact, mainly because of the distance. But all was not lost, for after years of absence, we met at a family wedding. Face to face, and every experience we'd encountered all bubbled up to the surface as if it had happened yesterday. And I've come here now, say, probably after 6 years, and I've seen people, and it's just the same as if I saw you yesterday for tea or whatever. But what joy transpires as we share all our feelings and celebrate together as one. We realise that it takes effort to keep a relationship true. Life does not always offer a good one on a plate. We make our own decisions and choices, trying to form the ideal image accepted by others. It is later learnt, often through heartache, that what was once bonded together can quite easily be broken apart. And consequently, the world falls around us like a pack of cards. Health deteriorates. And before we know it, we are in the midst of a very lonely place. Relationship can then take on an anonymous form. When we pretend to be something or someone we are not, we depend upon different habits and attitudes, and life becomes unreal, made up, and insincere. And of course, once dissatisfaction sets in, low esteem, lack of hope for the future. But when it does set in, that's the time to remember that overlying this entire struggle, this moment of thinking about trying to walk and balance, is one relationship that remains constant. Getting priorities right is crucial. Our first priority as Christians is God. And what joy transpires when we meet heart to heart through prayer. Early experiences bubble up to the surface. Relationship is bonded, maintained, and kept alive. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, "Clothe yourselves with love. Through his Spirit in our hearts, we are blessed and strengthened with its fruits of love, joy, peace." I'll go through them. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to live out our faith. Forgiving others as God forgave us in life so that we can all be near God's everlasting presence, bounded together in complete harmony. God's hand that reached out for me, I let rescue me, pull me from the turmoil I was in. From a child, God's relationship with me has kept me focused, strong, accepting, encouraging, and forgiving. A trusting relationship, like that of a small child, helps explore the world from a new perspective by being accepted for who we are, given reassurance and confidence by God's constant support as our feet stagger and slide. He enables us to reach out and hold firmly that which remains constant, share our feelings openly with willing hearts, and that nurture a new generation of family. The new commandment fulfills God's law, not break it. If we obey the command to love and love others, we have fulfilled the law of 10. And we only have to look at the board at the back of the church. Love the Lord your God with all a constant reminder. It's there. And as we leave the church, we can go and speak out. This law encompasses all whom we love. It all comes together in a sacred space where hearts, mind, body and soul are filled with the love of God. So take hold of God's outstretched hand, prepare the next generation, and share with them our close relationship with God. It is time to love and listen, or listen and love, whatever way you'd like to have it. To enable that support for all life's experiences, so that everybody, including our neighbour, has the opportunity to be confident to walk with God, thanking and praising his unconditional love, given, not earned, for each one of us forever. So as we think of our reading today, we read it out, the first part, as it is in the Bible, then consider saying it in different ways. Instead of your, in your heart, say my. So it's, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, and with all my strength, and to love my neighbour as myself. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. Now, you're having to pray for a new vicar. There's a lot of prayer things that are going on that we've had in the notices. I'm going to send you now through a way of ancient way of praying and building a relationship. Some of you may have a bit of paper or pencil if you like to scribble on some of the things, but you don't have to. If you have one, you can. There's some available, might be some at the back. So feel free. Does anyone want to say anything while we're getting it ready? Does anybody like to question anything that I've said, would like to comment on anything? Don't worry if it's going to be a five steps of prayer. It's something you can do at the end of day, in the morning, in the bath, on the way to school, in a car, after an argument, when you're faced with a very difficult day. It's called an eximen prayer. And it's a way of experiencing getting close to God, getting God in within you. Just clarifying all that muddle in your mind. And I find it very refreshing. So first of all, I'd like you to just get yourselves comfortable. Have a jostle around. Just make yourself comfortable. And then what I'd like you to do is to just be still. And we're going to have a period of just being still while papers are given out. And I just want you to listen what's going on outside, but welcome it, not fight against it. So if you hear a motorbike revving his engines outside, accept it. If you hear a child screaming, accept it. Just accept the sounds you have and bring them close inside you. So have a few moments of silence when we can just be where we are at in this place. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, I'll be with you day after day after day, right up to the end of age. God is present with us right now. Acknowledge his presence in your heart and rest in it. You are safe, at rest, nothing to prove, and God is here. I want you to think through the last day or hours and remember it with thankfulness. Try to remember the hours that have led up to this moment, and each time to find something that you are grateful for to God. Pray a little thank you in your heart, or add a little squiggle or whatever on your paper. Take some time over this, allowing God to remind you of all the good things in your life. Thirdly, we're going to think about the emotions that have been present in the last day. Might want to reflect on each stage of the day, drawing of a face reflecting how you felt at that moment. What are the overriding emotions in your heart? Bring them before God in all honesty, every one. Those that you're proud of, those that you are not. Allow him to shine his light on them, showing his perspective. Now choose just one thing that stands out in your day. Either something that worries you, puzzles you, or evokes some other kind of emotion. Shape this into some sort of prayer, either in words or pictures. And what does this memory draw you into? Does it draw you into praise? Confession, prayer for others. Bring this thing before God. And finally, help us to look towards the coming day. What are our dreams for this church? Our relationships with our families, relationship with the world, the politicians, the governments of them, nature. Do you have concerns that you want to mention to God and spend a moment reflecting upon them? We'll end with a prayer. Let us pray. Father God, who is there in our past and who promises to be with us in the days to come, we bring all these prayers to you and thank you for the things you have reminded us of. Thank you for hearing our cries for help. Be with us in the rest of this evening, day, and onwards. To love, to listen, and to serve the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.